Welcome to this week's edition of Legal Line, right here at BobPittman.com. We try to demystify the law, translate the legalese, and hopefully point you in the right direction with regard to your legal problems. This week is no exception. Of course, we're broadcasting from the new studios of the Common Sense and Justice Network. How do you like that? Legal Line Network has kind of been folded into the Common Sense and Justice Network. You'll find a new page pretty soon, new directions, csjnetwork.com or the Common Sense and Justice Network.com. Some additional programming coming up in a few weeks as well. If you have a question, of course, you can always send a legal question to Jeff. It's just Jeff at BobPittman.com. Jeff at BobPittman.com. You can, of course, call in during the program when we broadcast live each Wednesday, each and every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Pacific time. You can give us a call at 253-471-9694 with those legal questions. We love to get them from you. We have guests from time to time. We have your questions, email sometimes. More and more, I think we'll find folks just dropping by to give us a call. That's great. Appreciate that very much. Hey, looking at the law this week, what do we have going? I noticed the American Bar Association is reporting that a deputy attorney general back in Indiana who tweeted that the police should use live ammunition to stop pro-labor protesters in Wisconsin has lost his job. Yeah, it seems like we're confronting more and more of these sticky First Amendment issues regarding government workers. If we have a private citizen making remarks, you know, unless it's something like yelling fire in a theater, we're covered by the First Amendment, even when what is being said is really repulsive. You know, look at what's happening with the funerals for the fallen soldiers. That one just, I mean, I'm an advocate of the First Amendment for sure. I think, you know, most of us are. But boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? I've got to grab the Supreme Court case. I have not read it yet. I don't know. How long it is. I gotta pull it and see if I gotta stay up late at night to read it, but it'll make for interesting reading. That's a tough one, isn't it? I think the First Amendment cases are oftentimes very difficult. And again, when you get into this area of governmental folks, you know, what can they say? Aren't they also private citizens? And if they're acting as a private citizen when they say something, even if it's something really annoying, you know, aren't they covered by the First Amendment? That'll be kind of an interesting case. I suspect we'll hear more about that attorney general, deputy attorney general in Indiana. We'll see what's happening. Hey, in another report, lawyers are breaking through the $1,000 an hour barrier. Don't you love it? $1,000. What was that? I remember there was some show a while back. They said $1 million. Oh, no, it was, Austin Powers, right? $1 million. It isn't quite $1 million an hour yet, but $1,000 an hour. I think I saw one person referenced it like $1,250 an hour. Well, I got to get to work on this, obviously. Yeah, we're catching up with I don't know if that even begins to catch up with some of the bankers and CEOs that are out there, you know. Hey, the ABA is also reporting that a sheriff, this is a good one, a sheriff ran up a $5,000 legal bill to dispute a $145 claim. I mean, you know, this is not that uncommon, and not to just pick on a governmental representative, a sheriff, but this is a great example of how I think we all sometimes blow something so out of proportion, you know, so wildly out of proportion that we end up paying huge amounts to resolve a minor matter. You know, we can get ourselves so worked up that we just, at the time at least, we just don't care that we're building up, you know, something little into something that will control our lives for weeks or months and sometimes, you know, sometimes even years. It's absolutely amazing to me. And I find that's true with, you know, I think neighbor problems seem to generate cases where, you know, someone is so worked up that they will make their lives miserable for sometimes even years, but for months certainly, and sometimes sue neighbors over relatively minor matters. I mean, just, you know, think about cases you've had, situations you've had with maybe a neighbor, And it tends to get us really emotionally going. And we got to catch ourselves sometimes. And maybe that thing about like the 24-hour rule on email where, you know, don't respond, especially, I mean, when it's an email comment, kind of like an email blast. They're blasting you. Don't just respond that moment, but, you know, maybe write out an initial response. Maybe put it in a Word file or something, but write out your response and then sleep on it. You know, wait a day. Because oftentimes when we are emotionally charged, then our words are just plain different. And even when we read them the next day, we say, oh, I might want to soften that just a little bit. Or maybe I didn't really mean that. But the problem, of course, with email is we ship that stuff out that instant and we feel good for a moment. And then, you know, what happens? Or you reply to, what was it? Someone was commenting the other day about replying to all instead of just to one person. So you get an email in and it kind of annoys you maybe or something, and you say something in a reply. You think you're just replying to that one person, but you accidentally hit reply all. And all of a sudden, the comments that you really intended just for one individual go out to, you know, 25, 30, 40 people, and maybe you didn't really want to do that. So I think in all this stuff, if we can throw a little bit of common sense, what a novel idea. A little bit of common sense into all the stuff we're doing. And that, hence the Common Sense and Justice Network. I think they go really well together. But if we can throw a little common sense into what we're doing, just think how we could, I mean, we could change the world. We could change our world for sure if we would just stop and think sometimes before we act. And I think if we pull out my word, pull out of your pocket the one of my favorite words. If I had to pick one word, it might be this one that I would want to have with me at all times, and that word is respect. Remember the song, you know, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. I won't. I promise not to sing it to you. But respect is that word, I think, that we all need to think about more. You know, if you always are reacting in a respectful manner towards others and towards yourself, I'll bet we wouldn't do half the things or react in these crazy ways. I mean, I'm right there with you. I'm not trying to say I'm perfect because I'm sure not. But if you could just stop yourself and say, okay, mentally, you know, say to yourself, okay, what's the respectful way to respond? And sometimes it's not not to respond maybe for a little while, maybe to think about something. Maybe it's a letter you got. Maybe it's an email, a phone call, something, whatever it is, but maybe just sit on it for a minute and think about how you can respond respectfully. I don't mean back down. I don't mean, you know, give in needlessly, but I mean respectfully, because you're also respecting yourself, and so you can't just throw in the towel on something. That's not what I'm talking about. But if we use words like respect and think about a common sense way to approach almost everything, and yeah, judges, you too. If we can somehow act in a common sense and very respectful manner. Now, a lot of judges, most judges, I think, do act in a respectful manner. And, of course, we need to respect them as well. Sometimes I question the common sense end of things. Of course, then I look at a statute maybe that the legislature drafted and the governor signed off on, and I say, whoops, where was the common sense in that one? We need to have common sense testers. We could have volunteer common sense people to go down to the legislature. I guess they'd get thrown out, though, wouldn't they? And maybe then we'd have some attorney general somewhere, deputy attorney general, saying we should use live ammunition on the common sense people. I hope not. I hope not. Hey, coming up next week, going to be a really fun discussion about how we might have our very own charity, even if we don't have tons of money. You can actually create your own charitable fund by using the nice folks at a community foundation. And they're everywhere in the country. Everywhere in the country you've got community foundations. It is a terrific way. We're going to talk to Jeff Pritchard, who will join us from the Greater Tacoma Community Foundation. And he's going to help us understand why we might want to have our own little charitable fund. And it doesn't cost an arm and a leg to do it. It's amazing. So think about that. We'll be doing that next week on the program. And, of course, if you're listening to the Bobcast, you know, look for that Community Foundation segment and listen to it. Maybe it's already happened. That's the neat. It's like going back to the future or something. I mean, it's probably already occurred, right? Hey, we got Diane with us. Diane's hanging out with us just a little bit. And I know you had a couple interesting questions come up during the week for us. And,
I did.
And they all kind of centered on kind of a fun topic.
I was at my girlfriend's house doing some quilting. And
quilting, everybody, quilters out there, listen.
Yeah, quilting's really fun. And part of the fun is developing a stash or an amount of fabric. And you notice that our back room's starting to pile up with fabric. It's so much fun. But I was at my friend's house.
I'm waiting the 24-hour rule here. 24-second rule, at least, about not just responding. How can I respectfully comment on that? Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was at my friend's house doing some quilting, and she talked about having some charity quilt fabric. And I asked her what that was.
Well, charity quilt fabric?
Charity quilt fabric.
Okay.
And the fabric, it turns out, was donated to their quilting guild from a woman that passed away.
Oh.
And they used the fabric that she donated to their guild to make quilts to give to charity.
Wow.
And you can add some of your own fabric, and they use it for that. But I was wondering, you know, the old contest, whoever dies with the most fabric wins?
Yeah, I know you're in that. Oh, no,
I've
got to think about that. 24 seconds, 24 hours. You seem to be in that contest. It's kind of fun.
I am. Yeah. I'm way behind everybody else. But what happens if one of these quilting ladies passes away? What should we? I want to encourage them to be prepared to not have their fabric just thrown out.
You know, what a good question, because, you know, I'm just picturing, you know, in a family, let's say in this case, you like to do quilting, and I don't have a clue what's going on there.
That's a good thing.
I mean, that's right. I can kind of see the end product there that you've made, which is really neat and stuff. But, I mean, I don't have a clue. And I don't, you know, not doing it, of course, you don't have the feel for it that obviously you and your friends have. But I can just picture it, and I'll bet it happens time and time again, where the person who likes to do quilting dies, and all the stuff gets thrown out or just junked out or tossed in that big dumpster out front that they bring to the house and doesn't go to some good cause, even if it's just to all your quilting friends.
That's right.
You know, because a person could certainly take and do the, you know, the quilt stuff and give it to, you know, like other people in your group. I know you have a little group that you hang out with to do quilting. And if nothing else, it ought to go to them, you know, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
But it can also go, I like this idea about the charitable thing. I mean, and what this says, though, is in your will or your trust, in your documentation that hopefully all of us have or will have, you reference this and you say, okay, when I die, all my quilting stuff, you know, stash, right? And
stash.
And all the, but it seems like you have a few like little implements of destruction that you buy too, you know, odds and ends
and
from sewing machines.
Not just like
one sewing machine, but you all seem to have like, you know, quite a bit of stuff that you almost need to have like a minivan just for the quilting stuff.
Yeah.
You know? But all that stuff. You know, where is it going to go? And this goes, you know, we go back to our basic estate planning discussion that we all should be having. And we say, okay, what about all of our personal stuff? I mean, whether it's quilting stuff or let's say someone has, you know, a collection of, I don't know, little model airplanes or a collection of coins. A collection of,
books.
You know, you name it.
Yeah.
Or just some stuff. You know, you got some old Beatle albums or something, and you got some of this and some of that. Well, one of the things that we need to do is in our documentation, we need to say who gets this stuff. And if we don't, and in fact, if we don't have a will at all, I mean, the worst case, it could actually end up going to the state if you have no relatives. Now, the good news is if you have some relatives, they're going to at least get it. But, you know, imagine giving someone leaving quilting stuff to me if you weren't around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't have a clue. I would just, you know, part it out. I mean, it would sit out in the carport or something, you know, until I don't know what, you know, the cats and others would hang out. So if we, in our documents, say, for instance, in a will, you can have a provision in a will that says something to the effect that I may, at the time of my death, have a list of personal items and where they go, who gets them. And now you go over and on a list, you don't have to keep changing your will. You just have a reference in your will that says you're going to have a list. And then anytime you want to, you start listing stuff off. And maybe it's just saying, you know, like with the charitable group, maybe it's a guild of some sort, I guess, that would do this. You say, hey, when I'm gone, all my quilting stuff, anything related to it goes to the, you know, so and such and such guild. And I hope that they'll do some really neat things with it for charitable stuff or something. Or it goes to the group I'm quilting with on a weekly basis in equal shares and let them pick what they want or something, you know. But you need to do something, and all of us have something. It isn't always quilting. It's other stuff, you know. It might be, old radio equipment, you know, for running a radio show. Who gets it when you're gone? You know, whatever it is. Or maybe it's an antique car you've been working on. I saw someone a while back who has some really neat cars that they've worked on a lot. And, you know, who gets them? You got to think about it, and you got to put it in your documents. It's really easy to do. It is not hard to do. Now, here's the hard part, and I think it's also the fun part, is what's the story that goes with those items? You know, and I'll bet, going back to quilting for a moment, I'll bet you there are some really neat stories that relate to particular quilts. You know, what was going on in someone's life when they made that quilt, when you gathered this stuff or whatever. You know, the stories that go with the items, you know, it's a neat old radio that you restored from the 30s or 40s. Well, what's the story behind it? Is that the radio that the family used to gather around? You know, here, of course, I'm a radio lover, but, I mean, a lot of people will say, well, wait a minute, they gathered around the radio. Boy, that's going way back, Bob. You know, gathered, maybe it's the old TV set. Somehow I can't get as attached to a TV set as I can a radio. I don't know, maybe it's just me. But whatever it is, we want to think about all those personal property things, and you got to get the stories down. I think that even if you're strictly thinking about money, I mean, picture yourself watching TV and you happen to stumble on that antique roadshow kind of thing, and you're watching, and they're describing this item. You know, you pick the item, whatever it is. They're describing the item, and so you hear the description and the value. Well, imagine you hear the description, but now you also hear, well, you know, that was the gavel that was used in the court case that convicted Chief Leshy. Well, wow, that gavel all of a sudden isn't just an old gavel, but it's a gavel that was used in a really significant court case from way back when. Well, I'll bet you with the story that goes with it and everything, the gavel's worth more than if you just say, this is a really cool old gavel from 18-something, whatever it might be. So the stories are really important. I think so many times we miss the stories. We don't write them down. These days, of course, you can record the stories. And what I typically would say to someone is, think up questions ahead of time. You know, write the questions down, and interview the person. And of course, you know, let them talk too. But I mean, have some interview questions when you're going to talk to, Aunt Martha about her quilting stuff, because I'll bet you she's got some interesting comments. I'll bet some of the people you are quilting with have some interesting stories that go with some of the stuff that they use. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It seems like it anyway. Yeah. But it's really a good point. You got to get that done, and brings up all this other fun stuff that everybody needs to do. And, we better do like estate planning for quilters, maybe. We better put together, we're going to put together some fun workshops in the future. We got to think about that one. I don't know how we, you'll have to work on that one, because I don't know exactly how we would do that. I can do the estate planning part. I love to hear the stories. I love to hear the stories. You know, we were down at the Rockwell exhibit. Whoa, Norman Rockwell. Now, I'm from a time when I remember him, of course, but I didn't actually take the Saturday Evening Post. That was the big one, I think. Oh, there were several other ones. I want to say Life Magazine, Look Magazine, I guess it was. Yeah, Life and Look was the one where you got to look, I guess, and see the pictures. Someone out there who knows what they're talking about saying, well, Bob, what are you doing? What are you talking about? But it was really neat. The Rockwell exhibit happens to be traveling around the country, I suspect, and at the moment it's down at the Tacoma Art Museum, and what a neat exhibit. Go down and spend a little time with these great pictures. Your comment, the paintings that they have down there.
So rich and dimensional.
Yeah, they look like 3D. I mean, they're just so neat.
So gorgeous.
You know, not being an artist, at least in the way of being able to paint or draw, you really have to just marvel at that. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, you go look at the Glass Museum, and it's hard for me to imagine putting that together. I don't know how you do it. You know, maybe I can put a really neat-looking legal document together. Or we can hang out on Bob Pittman's legal line right here at bobpittman.com. But otherwise, it's a tough road. Hey, we're going to be doing a special live remote broadcast at the Fred Oldfield Western Heritage and Arts Center on Saturday, March 19th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's like the best charge ever. It's free. I checked that to make sure. The Fred Oldfield Center is just inside the Red Gate out at the Puyallup Fairgrounds. Now, that's like, I think, 110 9th Avenue Southwest. And I've got a phone number. If you want information about it, you can call 253-752-9708 for more information. But if you're a history buff or if you've ever wondered about territorial justice, you won't want to miss the special broadcast featuring the people who is, I believe, the leading historian when it comes to Washington and our legal system. And I'm going to hold off telling you who that is. We'll expose that later, but you will be truly amazed by by who it is and the knowledge that he has. It's just a terrific opportunity to think about territorial justice, what happened before we were a state, and how that then has led into what we have today. You know, you have to look back in history, I think, to try to figure out what's going on today. And sometimes I think we forget about history, and we don't take advantage of lessons that we've picked up in the past. So that's coming up. That's going to be fun. That'll actually be our first live remote broadcast. So you'll be able to hear it, of course, as a Bobcast after we've done it. But if you want to come out and participate and even come up and ask a question and then listen to yourself on the Bobcast later, be sure to come on out. Dorothy Wilhelm is going to be with us. We're going to do a rendition of our new program that will be coming out on the Common Sense and Justice Network called In the Middle with Dorothy Wilhelm and Bob Pittman. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. Dorothy, everybody loves Dorothy. I mentioned Dorothy to people, and they say, oh, yeah, we love Dorothy. You know, she's just great. In fact, there's, an existing Bobcast from a couple weeks ago that you can listen to. And, of course, her column is out there each and every month in the News Tribune and in a number of papers around the country. If you're listening to us from around the globe, you can look for Dorothy Wilhelm's column that appears on a regular basis. So we're going to have fun with a new program called In the Middle. We will do an edition of Bob Pittman's Legal Line out at the Fred Oldfield Western Heritage and Arts Center on Saturday, March 19th. And we'll just have a lot of fun. We're going to have test out some of our new equipment, and it'll just be great. And that's one of the things that we'll be looking to do as time goes on, is a few more of the remote broadcasts. I think it's, the Internet has just opened up the world to people who want to broadcast like this. It's just tremendous. You don't have to have the old radio format. You can, of course, and you can link them, which is great too. I think a lot of it appears to me a lot of the radio stuff that's going on is a combination sometimes, but they're finding that some of the internet broadcasts are far surpassing what's happening on the regular old radio. I'm a radio fan, you know, anyway. So if you have comments on any of the stuff we talk about, if you have suggestions for program topics, I heard who was it? Someone brought up the other day an interesting idea of trying to get a prison warden on for a discussion. And so we're going to work on that. But we appreciate your suggestions as to what you'd like to hear. You can always email us. You just send an email to Jeff. It's just jeff@bobpittman.com. Of course, it's two T's. You know that because you're here now. But jeff@bobpittman.com. You can always call in during the program. We broadcast weekly on a live stream at 3 p.m. Wednesday Pacific time. And you can give us a call then at 253-471-9694. Drop by bobpittman.com during the week. Leave your comments, of course. Email us. Check into the Bobcast that you haven't heard. You might find something really interesting there. And then again, let us know what you'd like to hear in the future, because we're listening and we're trying to produce programming that is meaningful to us all. We have a very broad cross-section of the world out there. It's not one area of the law. It's, you know, the law affects us every single day of our lives. Whatever it might be that we're involved in, there's a legal aspect to it. We all have questions. We all have concerns. And this is the place where we can address those concerns, answer those questions, discuss what's important to you, and hopefully pass out some tips and pointers, get you pointed in the right direction with regard to your legal problems, legal questions, talk about issues. We'll have some other programming that will come up, as I say, on the new network that we've established, the Common Sense and Justice Network, csjnetwork.com. But always stop by bobpittman.com and check into what's going on. So until next week, I'm going to ask you to stay in control of your legal affairs. I mean, at least, you got to at least do it till next Wednesday. Give us a call with your legal questions, and we'll be with you next Wednesday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, right here at bobpittman.com. This is Bob Pittman for the Legal Line, Bob Pittman's Legal Line, the Legal Line Network, which is now the Common Sense and Justice Network. Thanks for being with us.